For our children and those who enjoy illustrating, your prompt today is fish. The fish symbol, or any picture of fish, and also the disciples trying to catch fish. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There was a popularity contest in the church in Corinth. And this popularity contest divided people so that they did not get along with one another. There was a popularity contest about who baptized someone. I wonder if perhaps Apollos or Cephas were viewed as more handsome than Paul. I don't know. What we know about Paul is that he was not much to look at. And others wanted to boast about who baptized them. There were other problems, as you would read further on in the book. There was a popularity contest about who was the most eloquent speaker, who prayed with the most passion, who seemed the most spiritual in the church. The Apostle Paul, their founder and teacher, had no use for popularity, nor name-dropping, nor competition among the members. Paul's big question was about purpose. The purpose of speaking well is to help others understand, not to make oneself admired or look good. The purpose of passion is to help draw others in so they experience that passion. The purpose of a spiritual life is to share it among fellow believers. It seems that perhaps even the people in Corinth were not even that really interested in the story of the cross. They did not care for things that looked humble or lowly, such as Jesus dying on the cross. They liked things that appeared more powerful or more spiritual in their minds. And so Paul reminds them about the cross. He goes on after where Anne left off about so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. He goes on to say, the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. The message about the humble Christ, the one who sacrificed himself for us, is foolishness if you care about recognition or power or acclamation. It's foolishness if you care about moving up in the world, but if you're being saved, it is life. If you're being saved, it is power beyond what you can imagine. If you're being saved by the humility of Christ, it is the most beautiful thing that you know. So much of life is self-centered. Today and in the time Paul lived, we admire those who speak well or those who inspire us. We admire those who make a lot of money or those who have an important name. And name dropping is part of life today, just as it was in the time that Paul lived. Much of life is centered around ourselves. We work so that we can put a roof over our own heads. We watch our calories so that we ourselves can feel better. We may even go to church to get a good internal spiritual feeling, and not be so concerned about those around us. Yet, sometimes we are foolish enough or wild enough to get outside of ourselves, to think about a larger purpose of what we are doing. In Russia and in the Eastern Orthodox Church, there was a tradition of someone called the Holy Fool. This person was similar to a prophet of the Old Testament who would walk around in the middle of the city preaching, "Repent." The Holy Fool was similar to Christ in that he or she was humble. The Holy Fool wore rags and begged for food. He or she would go around saying things that other people could not say because they wanted to maintain their standing in the community, but the Holy Fool had no standing, so he or she could say anything. The Holy Fool tried to draw people's attention away from things that might drag them down from just the cares and worries of ordinary life. The hope was when you saw him or saw her, you would be shocked, unnerved a little bit, and think about things beyond what is on your to-do list for that day. The Holy Fool would put up with people mocking and making fun because Christ was mocked during his trial and death. The Holy Fool would stand up to the proud and pompous, even princes and kings. The Holy Fool preached a message of getting outside oneself. I wonder if the Holy Fools inspired wild ideas in others. Sometimes we do get outside ourselves, and we do get into the plans and ideas that Christ has for us. Look around this sanctuary. Church members, decades ago, got the wild idea to take countless hours away from their own work, their own homes, their own families, and build this place, beam by beam, block by block, and brick by brick. They spent long hours here with hammers and nails and power tools, putting this together where we sit today, when they could have been at home doing something else. Some members spent long hours over steaming pots, vats even, of Brunswick stew, selling the stew to raise money for the building project. When they could have been at home cooking for their own families or putting their feet up, they were here stirring and stirring and stirring. Does anyone know how many gallons a Brunswick stew pot holds? I'm sorry? The biggest one holds 90 gallons. And I don't even know how many of those 90-gallon pots were made during those years to raise money for where we are sitting right now. Some years ago, our members got another wild idea, and that was to buy the camp next door, which had been Presbytery property, and to take this on. What kind of idea is that? Some may have even thought it foolish, but we did it anyway. Some members of this congregation, I know that you get wild and outlandish and beautiful ideas. A while back, some local students could not afford cap and gown for graduation. Some of our members said, "Let's get those young people their cap and gown," and off they went to outfit the students for graduation. One of our members was at a cross-country race when the last runner came panting and dragging to the finish line. Our church member jumped in and joined the exhausted runner on the last leg of the race so that she wouldn't be alone. Wild ideas that we get sometimes, outlandish ideas, maybe even foolish in some people's minds. These are gifts from God. When we get these ideas, when we step outside of ourselves and our own worries and do something for the purpose of benefiting someone else. Richard Hayes, in his commentary on 1 Corinthians, translates this verse about foolishness in a different way. He says, the foolish thing of God is wiser than humans, and the weak thing of God is stronger than humans. Maybe another way to say it is, God's outlandish plans are the best idea you have ever seen. God has outlandish plans for us, for this church, for you and for me as individuals. God has outlandish plans, wild plans, foolish plans, unexpected plans. God may catch you or me off guard with those ideas, but those plans will be holy and wonderful surprises. Who knows? God may even make holy fools out of us. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the ideas that are beyond our imagination, for your continual call to get outside ourselves, to experience your glory, and to humbly work and serve someone else. We ask that you would be with us this week. Give us those wild ideas, remind us to serve, and always be with us, guiding us and reminding us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.